Dear ones, I'd like to just read one verse this morning that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and that verse is number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 9. Ljubav vas ne želim da se pročita jedan stih, što će se naći u knjige propovednike, 11. glava, 9. broj. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. I'd like to also read in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." As a brother led us in prayer, we're reminded that God has given each one of us a free will. God will never coerce anyone into following him. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, here. He gave himself up on the cross, and the question that was asked, that Pilate had asked, "What shall I do with this, with Jesus? What shall I do with him?" That question really is something that every one of us, whether we want to face it or not, we are being asked, as Pilate asked, "What shall I do with him?" We are being asked, "What will we do with him also?" Pilate chose, went against the advice that he saw before him, one who was completely innocent. He recognized that. He recognized him. Even his wife told him, "I've had some bad dreams." And he still weighed. He weighed everything, and he thought, rather than face the wrath of a Caesar or the taunts of the crowd or whatever it might be, he'll give in and let Jesus be persecuted, let him be put upon the cross, and let him die. He chose to let Jesus go. To the crowd's demands. And whether we want to face that or not, that question is being asked of us also. What are you going to do with Jesus? And in the verse that we read in Ecclesiastes, it's some advice that is given from Solomon, a man who himself has turned away from that which he was given, the wisdom that was given unto him. He had turned his back to it and wandered in the darkness of this world. And as he's closing out his life, he recognizes how everything that he did was just futile. It's all vanity. It's all gone. The richest man in the world is going to die. He takes nothing with him. And so he's going to give advice. He gives advice to the young. He gives, because he's addressed as a young man. But this advice doesn't change as we grow older. The advice remains the same. He says, if you want to rejoice, go rejoice. Do it. Enjoy your youth. If you think you can enjoy it, enjoy it. If you think this is life, live it. He says, walk in whatever ways your heart. Now keep this in mind. If we walk in the ways of our heart, we're walking in the ways of a fallen nature that is corrupt and has no good in it. He says, you want to walk in the ways of your own heart? He says, in the sight of your own eyes. The eyes, we know, see everything that it is attracted to, desires well within oneself with the glance of an eye. That's what David did upon his rooftop. His eyes went out and he saw what he wanted and he pursued it. And he just says here, but know one thing. Just know that for all of these things, whatever it is you go out to do, you will stand before God and you will be judged. That's it. You're going to be judged. So we all know this. But Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. And so he deceives a young man and deceives a middle-aged man and deceives an old man alike. He doesn't let up on someone because they're old. He doesn't let up on anything, on anyone at any time. He's full of deceit, and he wants to deceive us. And the reason he has to deceive, because sin without the lie would not be attractive. So he lies to us. And he tells us that it's good. It's good for you. You're gonna feel good. You're gonna this. And the pursuits just continue on and on. And Solomon found himself in that trap where he just went on and on. And now when he's ready to die, he says, for everything you do, you're going to stand in judgment. That's a truth that cannot be escaped. You can't escape it. What would scare us more today if suddenly on this wall a hand would appear like it did for the king, and it tells us that he shook, his knees were clattering, and he couldn't, for fear of what was taking place, a hand appeared on the wall and is writing something, and he doesn't even know what it's writing. And he gets it interpreted. He says, you're in the balances, and you're found wanting. You're being weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. You don't weigh out. We might think that we weigh out by the scales of the world. 16 ounces equals a pound. That's what the world says, and that's what we're going to, you know, my life will fit into the world's measures. But we're going to be weighed in the divine balances, by the divine law of God, one that is perfect in every way. God, who is perfect and holy, gave us a law that was perfect and holy. And we're going to be weighed in those balances. And so would we be so frightful because a hand has appeared? Or are we going to listen to the message? You're weighed. You're found wanting. Does that scare us? Does that make our knees rattle and clank together? Or do we dismiss the eternal truths of God because no hand appeared, and this is just a book? We don't see no phenomenon like that taking place. And John, who the Apostle John, who was the apostle of love, as he is called, he writes in the book of Revelation of a. He says, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who have worshipped the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We read, Apostle Paul, what you will sow, expect to reap that. Nothing different. And so we have to realize that in our life, as we think, we are sowing. If you want to think an evil thought about me, you're sowing that, and you're going to reap that. If you're sowing lust, if you're sowing you're coveting, you want something, you're sowing those things. And he says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. They were sowing of the Spirit. And they, as Apostle Paul says here, will, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. As we look back, How many have gathered into the house of the Lord this past year and have heard the call of God, have heard God call? Well, you might say, well, I didn't hear him call me. Nothing struck me tremendously like, okay, God wants me. And again, there's the devil. He's at work. He's deceiving you. Because when you read just this verse, know that you will give an answer for that. You will go into judgment for that which you do. Isn't God telling you? Isn't God saying to you, listen, come to me. I'm offering life everlasting. Sow to the Spirit, and you will receive life everlasting. That's not a call. What is it? And so we become deceived. We want to have something extraordinary happen to us, like it did when we read of Saul on his way to Damascus. We want a blinding light to blind us, to fall on, so that we would fall blind, and then to feel something extraordinary. Why? Is Jesus, as we look upon, Pilate looked upon Jesus, he wasn't attractive to him. Jesus didn't attract him. He saw a perfect man, sinless, the gentlest and the meekest of men. He saw him right in front of him. It didn't attract him. You see Jesus too today. You see him that way. As the Bible describes him, we all see him that way. Is he attractive to you? The answer is he was attractive to two. Last, the entire year, two were baptized in the death of Christ in this church. Is that to diminish? No, because it tells us that on the throne there is rejoicing when one turns. One. We had two. How many heard, though? How many cared to listen? And so Solomon is telling you, you let a year go by, and you enjoyed what you wanted to enjoy. You let another day go by. You may not have another day to enjoy. And for whatever you enjoyed, those things will come into judgment. You will be judged for those things. You sowed, and now it's time to reap. It's as if God will give us the sickle. Here, reap what you sowed. No, I don't want that. Well, that's what you planted. That's how you lived. You ignored me. You didn't. I sent my son to die for you. It didn't matter to you. You chose the devil and his lies. That's what you chose. Reap now. Reap. What a joy it is when someone takes a seed, puts it in the ground, and waits patiently, and the ground brings forth the fruit. And he goes and reaps and takes the fruit or the vegetable, whatever he has planted, and enjoys it. That's everlasting life when we sow to the Spirit. Now we know what the works of the Spirit are. We read them. We've read them just recently. They're in the previous chapter of Galatians 6. In 5 it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you sow love? Do you sow joy? Do you sow peace? Do you sow long suffering? Do you sow gentleness? Do you sow goodness? Do you sow faith? Do you sow meekness? Do you sow temperance? Because if we do, we will reap from the Spirit, which is the Spirit. We will reap what? Life everlasting. Pilate is remembered by every man that has ever read the Scripture. That name is known to everyone. And 2,000 some odd years have gone by. An eternity awaits for that which he sowed when he stands before the judgment. You, my dear friend, are given right now an opportunity, and what will you do with Jesus? And that's just something that we all I know. I was a young man. I know what I thought. Yes, I do want to give my life. And we heard it from the two who gave their testimonies. I always knew it's something I wanted to do. But sadly, years go by. Decades roll over. And God in his mercy and compassion still waits and says, the judgment is coming. You're going to face this. You're in the balances. You're wanting. You don't stack up to the divine law of God. And it's not for us to not say, oh, well, none of us can stack up to that. Oh, yes, we can. So do the Spirit. You will reap from the Spirit. When we look upon Jesus and he becomes attractive to us, we look upon his divine nature, a nature that God tells us he gives us. We who are born in sin nature are given a new nature, divine, so that we can actually turn our eye or away from sin. So we don't follow the sight of our eyes. So we don't follow the ways of our sin nature heart, a heart that is cleansed and made new again. And we're given eyes so that we may see the glory of God. All of the churches in the book of Revelations, Jesus takes them and he weighs them in the balances. Everyone is weighed in the balances. Everyone. None are left. None are dismissed. There's no one here that will be overlooked. What are we sowing as individuals, brothers, sisters? What are we sowing as an individual? What do we sow together as a church? You know, think of what would it be like to grow up in a church? And I know this is revealing of who we are. And it's something that should bring us shame. But to grow up in a church that has exhibited and is sowing all the fruit of the Spirit and displaying those fruits, what would it be like to grow up with every brother here who can be a mentor, every sister that can be a mentor, every brother to have a love for one another, every sister to have a love for one another? What would that feel like to grow up in that church? Brothers and sisters, we will be weighed in the balances. Are we found wanting? What are we sowing? What are we going to reap as a church, as a congregation, as an individual? Because ultimately, at the end of our life, we will give an answer for the life that we have lived and those who we were able to impact in a positive way to Christ, to bring them to Christ. Paul's only thought ever, forever was to bring someone to Christ. That's it. That's all he ever wanted to do. What do we always ever only want to do? We have to ask ourselves. Because at that expense, at the expense of as we're being asked, what are you going to do with Christ? What will you do with him? Life in its fleeting moments, it's over. And what did we do? You know, we know the sayings and the cliches of all the, you know, you can't take anything with you and all that. We know all that. The Bible makes that plainly clear. When the undertaker comes and puts us in a coffin and lowers us 6 foot into the ground and shovels the dirt over us, what does it matter what I've pursued in life, what I attained, what that heart followed, what my eyes saw? Does it matter then? What's going to matter is I'm now going to face the judgment. A holy God, a righteous God, who had showed love and mercy to me. He offered me his son. What did I do with him? That's it. That's all that's going to be asked. He's not going to be asked, how much did you give to this poor man as you went around lusting and pursuing other things? How much did you give to the poor? Did you give everything? Oh, good. You gave everything? Check. You're going to get a reward for that. As I followed other, as I showed my anger to others, as I did this and this, God's law, his entire law, is divine, perfect, holy. And he says, those who love me love my law. They love my law. Why? Because we've been purified by the blood of Jesus. Have given a new heart, a new mind, the mind of Christ, to follow him. The world's going to play, he's going to blow his trumpet or his flute, and he's going to tell you, dance. That's what Jesus says. Dance. He's going to say, boy, boy, girl, girl, it's still called marriage. It's okay. And it deceives many Christian denominations. They're going to demand it of you to dance. And they're always changing the rules. Jesus said that too. He said, John the Baptist came. He didn't come eating and drinking. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. You had something, you didn't like John the Baptist, you didn't like the Son of God. You didn't like Jesus. You're always changing. Oh, he's a glutton. That's the world, who is playing his flute for us all the time and demanding of us to dance to that tune. Or you will be vilified, ostracized, whatever. You have to follow this. Coming to the point where we would be afraid to mention Jesus even. But that's the world. And Jesus gave us his law. And Solomon says, God will bring you into judgment. It's simple. It's so simple. What are we sowing? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And so, dear ones, as Pilate is asked, we are asked. Or Pilate asked, what shall I do? So we also. Jesus came and he died on the cross. And now, what will we do with that? We can't change that. We can't ignore him. We can't ignore the life that he lived, the path that he's calling us to. We can't ignore it. We can. Solomon said, you can do it. You can ignore Jesus. But you then will have to give it an answer, a judgment. Day is coming. That's something that can never be thwarted. It can't be changed. It stands. And so why is it, dear ones, that we allow a liar to lie to us? And we know he's a liar. He's identified. Jesus identified him as a liar. And so imagine, you know someone is a liar and he's lying to you, and you sit there and listen and say, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Last year, two turned away from those lies. You know, and as I think about it, you know, how many have walked through the doors and have heard the call? You think two came, and you think, what if 20 came? We would say, oh, that's so good, but it's not until all have come. Every soul is precious in the sight of God. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter how old or young you are, Jesus died. He died for you. He died for you and he died for me. And what are we going to do with him? It's a question that eternity rests upon. Everlasting life rests upon what will I do? And so, dear ones, as we contemplate Jesus, as we think of him, he has to be attractive to us. And if he's not, we're going to put him away because I don't want him. And brothers and sisters, that's a reminder for us too. We've been baptized in the death of Christ. We claim him. We claim to have been washed by the pure, precious, atoning blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We claim to have been given new hearts, new minds. Can we continue displaying what our friends who gather with us can see? No, we have to confess we have sinned. We have fallen short. And God calls us to repent. And in his love and in his mercy, he forgives. And he restores joy in the Spirit. He restores everything when we come to him. The problem is our knees don't shake when we hear we're in the balances and we're found wanting, because we like to dance to the sound of the world's music. Just a little dance here, a little dance there. God understands. No, he doesn't understand the world's music. He knows what it is. And he's given us another road, another way that he calls us unto. Follow me, he says. Love me, love my law. It's all pure. It's all holy. And he calls us, be ye holy as I am holy. So that when we stand in the judgment, when we reap to the Spirit, because we've sowed in the Spirit, then it'll be an eternity of joy in the presence of our Savior who died for us, who gave his life for us. And for all who rejected him, 1 year passed. We didn't bury any of you. You're here. Thank God. You're given another day. What will you do? What will we all do? May God give unto each of us, dear ones, the pouring out of his Holy Spirit so that we will truly be able to sow to the Spirit and to be able to reap in that day life everlasting. Amen.
The verse that we read this morning says, rejoice in thy youth and let thy heart cheer thee in all the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart. There is an opportunity for living in pleasure of sin. And that pleasure is there. It says, rejoice, and let thy heart cheer thee in that sin. And we read in Hebrews how it says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but then there are consequences. And we read of those consequences this morning, that for sin there is but death. In Romans we read, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we are carnally minded, seeking always to rejoice in sin, that the reaping of that is death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we were encouraged this morning to seek out the Lord, seek out his ways, forsake the pleasures of sin, look beyond sin, don't believe those lies that Satan is bringing your way. Let's believe him who loves us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. Let's believe in him, and let's follow in obedience in his ways. And so I'd like to just close here with verses in John's epistle where he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's not love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. It's all going to pass away, and it's going to burn. And the Bible says that that's going to go on and on in that lake of fire forever and forever. The fuel source for that lake of fire will never die out. Will never die out. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and forever, and a separation from the Lord forever and ever, because there was a rejoicing in our youth, and we were going to walk in our own way, and we were not going to submit to authority. We were not going to submit to God. We were going to do our life our way. And now there are those consequences in that lake of fire with that gnashing of teeth forever and forever. But yet, when we love not the world, when we don't believe Satan's lies, when we give our lives over to the Lord and love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we will be ushered into his presence forever and forever. And we will hear those blessed words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we will be at the Lord's supper table, and he will be there, and he will wipe away our tears, and we will be with him forever and in eternity. And there will not be a sun there, and because the Lord himself will be that light. And there will be that rejoicing forever and forever and forever. The time for choice is today. May we choose wisely. Amen.